Sports Desk. Your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a Monday afternoon live from the Emerald Queen Casino, brought to you by our friends at Buddy's. Goodies and glass. It's always 420 at Buddy's, baby.
Give you in the heart. I don't think it means what you think it means.
So Jimmy Lake has been suspended for the Arizona State game for an altercation with walk-on linebacker Ruparaki Fuavai during the Oregon game on Saturday. Bob Gregory, defensive coordinator, will take over as the interim head coach. He talked today about getting that phone call from Jen Cohen.
I just got a call early today, and Jen asked me if I'd be willing to do it, and part of me wanted to say no, kidding. But I'd do anything for the team, anything for her, and we got to move forward and practice, and happy to do it.
If you missed the news over the weekend, John Donovan, offensive coordinator, also fired at UW. Wide receiver coach Junior Adams will call plays the rest of the way.
Want some more local coach issues?
Yeah.
Seattle U-Head basketball coach Jim Hayford has been placed on administrative leave for an investigation into incidents where he reportedly used racial slurs.
That's not good at all.
No.
None of that is good.
What
the hell is going on with coaches in our state? Are you kidding me? Raiders have cut 2020 first-round draft pick corner Damon Arnett after a video appeared online showing him making death threats while holding a gun. And Cleveland, by the way, officially waiving wide receiver Odell Beckham Jr. Teams can claim him and the $7.25 million left on his salary up until 4 o'clock tomorrow.
Carlos Correa has won the AL Gold Glove Award over the Mariners' J.P. Crawford. And the Baseball Writers Association must have been listening to us, because Scott Servais is a finalist for the Manager of the Year Award.
He deserves to win it, for Christ's sakes. MLS, Sounders, a 1-1 draw with Vancouver yesterday. That gets them the number 2 seed in the Western Conference. That means they will host Real Salt Lake at Lumen Field. Ask me when the game is going to get played.
When's the game going to be played?
We have no idea. We'll find out soon. Jackson says maybe even on Thanksgiving Day. How about that?
Wow, that's brutal. Brutal. Multiple teams reportedly offered the Texans 3 first-round draft picks plus for Deshaun Watson, and Houston turned them all down.
Wow, you kidding me?
That's unbelievable.
And yet they're not even playing the guy. Kraken, 4-7-1 after a 5-4 loss to Arizona on Saturday. They got Vegas tomorrow, 7 o'clock face-off, 6:30 right here on 950 KJR. And by the way, tomorrow we're going to be up in Northgate at the 32 Bar and Grill.
Nice.
That's Mick McHugh's new place, doing the radio show from up there at the Kraken Community Ice Complex. Our first chance to get up there since they furnished and finished the place. Mm-hmm. We were up there for the construction tour, but we have not been up there since the whole thing was
so. You don't have to wear a hard hat this time?
No, we're good to go.
Last time we had to wear a jacket, yellow jacket, and a hard hat and sunglasses and all sorts of stuff.
I will say this, that the Kraken have done a great job of all of the remotes that we do involving hockey have all been near or at a bar. The food court surrounded by booze and food, and now doing our show from a bar tomorrow. So
they
if
know
you're
how,
in the area, stop by and see us and say hello.
They know how we roll, I guess.
Well, we need it, man, after what's happening on Montlake the last couple days. Holy cow. And this is the thing that we've been talking so much about, the situation with Jimmy and John Donovan and Junior Adams and Bob Gregory. We haven't even talked about the damn game on Saturday, right, which obviously has become secondary to everything happening off the field now, but it's just more of the same, right? More of the same. You're talking about a football team that, first of all of us knew, and you know the tone shifted, the narrative shifted. The minute they lost to Montana, John Donovan was a dead man walking. The minute they lost to Montana, he was out the frickin' door at UW, okay? And I told you guys on the air, and maybe it was just the emotions in me getting the better of me, I would have fired the guy that night. There's no way he's coming back to me on Monday if you put up 7 points against Montana.
What do you think?
How would they roll in the SEC if something like that happened? That guy would have been whacked that freaking day. But we're talking Washington's offense was the beneficiary all day long of a defense that kept giving them the ball in unbelievably advantageous situations. They had the ball at the plus 6, the minus 45, the minus 43, the 40, the 49, the 45, and they got 7 points out of the whole damn thing. It was unreal, man. They should have won that stinking thing on Saturday.
What do you think this season would have looked like had they done exactly what you just said and fired John Donovan after the first game of the season? Do you think this season would have been at all different than how it's gone?
If they had fired Donovan from the opener?
If they went Junior Adams game two against Michigan.
Yes. Ask me what happens after what I see Saturday. If they come out Saturday and they're running all kinds of shifts and motions and slants and they're running all kinds of wacky trick plays like they did under Chris Peterson and they're playing a different quarterback and things look dramatically different, their tempo is different the entire game, ask me after what I see Saturday. I mean, how much of a different offensive approach are we going to see on Saturday? I'm with you. I think we'll see a different approach in this Saturday.
I think we're going to see a stark change. And it'll be interesting to see, you know, we need to ask, you know, like Rick Neuheisel, for example, or Holmgren when we have him on.
Yeah.
How easy is it middle of the season to just completely change your offense?
Well, let's ask this next guest, because when difficult times are happening on Montlake, I mean, heck, even when good times are happening on Montlake, there's a few guys that I always want to share it with on the air, and Mario Bailey is always at the top of our list and joins us now on the air. Mario, first of all, appreciate you doing this, man, and I told you over text today that we need your words of wisdom on this radio program. Husky fans are hurting big time after what happened in the last week. They're hurting big time after what happened on Saturday. A lot of people are really confused as to what the future may hold for this program. What do you make of everything happening at Montlake right now, pal?
Man, it's hurtful. It's disappointing. But I think I'm different than most people. I just have faith that everything will turn out right. We've been through an 0-12 season, so we've weathered the storm through so much that I think we'll weather this storm too. I don't believe that coach should be fired. I'm kind of up in the air on suspension. You know, I'm from an era where back in school, principals had paddles and coaches would grab your face mask, spit in your face literally from talking so hard and doing different things that I seen the video. And as a parent, I personally wouldn't be mad at coach, but I feel like if you suspend him, then that leaves him as kind of like a lame duck, because now he'll be known as the coach who hit a player when, you know, the video shows different people view the video different ways. I just view it as, I'm from a different era, so I can take it. I would never say publicly that somebody should be fired, but I am glad that Coach Donovan's gone. I just felt like the offense all year has been kind of stagnant, and we haven't figured out ways to give our playmakers the ball in different situations. So as sad as I am to say, I'm happy. I was never going to say that publicly, but I'm happy that that happened. I just hope that Coach Lake gets a chance. I don't feel like we've given him a true chance, because what's going to happen if Coach Lake is gone and we have a new coach in here next year and say we get beat by 40 by the Ducks? Is everybody going to want that coach gone? I just hope we can rebound and win the rest of the games in the Pac-12 and make it to a bowl game.
Mario, how do you feel like Jimmy handled the press conference when he said that he didn't strike the player? He disagreed with that. And then he didn't apologize for what he did during the press conference.
I feel like when he was asked that, maybe he didn't think that he striked the player. You're in the heat of the moment. It's like one of those things, like you interview people right after the game. They haven't had a chance to look at the tape, or they don't know exactly what happened. Maybe if he's seen the tape, he might think differently. I really can't tell. Honestly, I don't feel like he owes the young man an apology. I feel like the young man owes the team an apology. If the young man's parents feel like Coach Lake did something wrong, then I have to backtrack and figure something out. I don't think he handled the press conference wrong at all. I feel like that young man should have been running stairs all day today at practice or all yesterday. It's just a difference in opinion for people.
Yeah, well, it's just a different school. It's a different era, right? I mean, all of us were raised in a different era, and I'm with you, you know? I mean, Ian Furness was telling a story about his kid today getting berated by a basketball coach, and his son had no problem with it. You know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Iron sharpens iron, blah, 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 all those cliches. But you are smart enough to know, like us, Mario, that there is a large faction of the Husky fan base that does have a problem with it. it. And I'm with you. You know, I mean, I want Jimmy Lake's, you know, defensive prowess, right? Speaking of that word again, on this staff. I just want the guy to go out and get a damn competent offensive coordinator, because I still believe that the combination of a really big-time offensive coordinator who's got a lot of creativity, a pioneer, a trendsetter in that regard, combined with Jimmy's chops on defense, could be lethal for this program.
I absolutely 100% agree with you. I feel like that's what happened for our 91 team. I feel like once we brought in Coach Gilbertson, it made Coach Lambright even better. They were going at it with each other in practice. I don't feel like our offense has any creativity or anything. Like, we don't do anything. We don't get the playmakers the ball. We're very vanilla. And I think an offensive coordinator would be great. But also, again, I think Coach Lake has had a year and a half, not even a year and a half yet. And I feel like once we lost that first game against Montana, everybody's been wanting him out ever since. And my mom always said, if you look for something, you're going to find something. I feel like we've just been looking. We haven't given him a total chance. I'm an alum. I actually played there. We went undefeated. And I just don't feel like he's had a total chance. And I just feel like if we're going to keep bringing people in, what happens next year if we bring somebody in and that person doesn't win? Are we going to want them out of here too? It's going to take a while to build our program back up. We're against the wall. It's hard to compete against an Oregon when you have Mr. Knight over there. No offense, but I just feel like that's hard to compete with.
And yet they were right in that football game, Mario. And I totally agree with Softy that if they got a C-minus offensive performance, not only do they stay in it for four quarters, they probably win. And yet we saw a fan base that left at halftime. What was your take when you saw that stadium more than half empty in a 10-9 football game at the beginning of the third quarter?
Total disappointment, but I felt like it's been like that really ever since the Montana game or even before. Like, the fans have no confidence, and that's hurtful. And I don't like to see that, because I feel like if we have a home field advantage and the fans stay, that makes a difference. Like, there's no excuse. I'm not going to give Coach Lake an excuse on that fourth down punt. I don't feel like that, but that's being an armchair quarterback too. Like, maybe he had his reasons for punting it. But seeing the fans leave, I just feel like it's inexcusable. We need to be there, support the guys, these kids that are out there, no matter what.
Well, something has led to that, and maybe you're right. Maybe it's the Montana game, that it was just so frightening and so disappointing to see that game go that way that a lot of people on that day just checked out. You know, I've kind of likened it to a bucket of golf balls at the driving range, Mario, and there's only so many balls in the bucket, and when you lost to Montana, you dumped a whole bunch of them out, and there weren't much left, you know, after that game. So, but, you know, going back to that punt for a second, so there's two schools of thought there. Either A, you go forward on fourth and 10, and keep in mind, the previous three plays, the offense did nothing on the previous three plays. So is there a better shot of winning the game by going forward on fourth and 10 and converting, or kicking the ball away, stopping them, and getting the ball back maybe at like the 30-yard line with 25 seconds to go?
I don't know, you know, and that's why he gets paid the bucks he does to make that decision.
Yeah.
But I heard Hugh say on the radio, he thought when the ball went over his head, it's like ball doesn't lie, and that was the football god doing that. And I just don't know. I don't know. The defense played well enough that you can punt it and hope that we can stop them.
Right.
But again, it's 2 minutes left, and we're down eight. It's like, let's go for it. It's just one of those calls, you know, you get paid the big bucks to make.
Mario, how much should Junior Adams, Bob Gregory, change what this offense looks like, boom, right off the bat, considering A, Bob Gregory's only going to be the head coach probably for one game, Junior Adams only going to be the offensive coordinator for three games? How much can you change an offense in the middle of a season like that?
You don't change the terminology and some of the plays, but you figure out a way to get your playmakers the ball. Like, that's what a good offensive coordinator does. I take it back to my days. And we played Washington State my last game in the Apple Cup. And Coach Gilbertson figured out a way just to align me up with Torrey Hunter just one-on-one, because Torrey Hunter was talking mess. But that's what a real offensive coordinator does. He puts you in positions to make plays. He makes his playmakers make plays, and I feel like we haven't done anything. We are just vanilla. Guys don't get the ball.
Yeah.
There's no routes being run. There's no nothing being done. And like I said, I didn't want to say – I wasn't going to say nothing, but now that it's done, yes, we definitely need some kind of spark, and I feel like Coach Adams can do that. He knows who his playmakers are, and he's going to try and get them the ball, and that's what you do.
Well, I guess the question for this weekend is this. How different will things be because Bob Gregory or because Junior Adams want them to be different, or do you still feel like, hey, Jimmy from behind the scenes is going to be calling the shots, making some phone calls, sending some texts? Will those guys go out and say, you know what, Jimmy's not here. We can do whatever we want. We're going to start Sam Heward or Patrick O'Brien at quarterback. How much will they deviate from what they believe they think his plan would have been?
No, you're not going to deviate too much because Coach Lake is still our coach. He's not fired, and you want your job. But if I'm the offensive coordinator, I'm changing a lot, and I'm getting my playmakers the ball. But as far as our whole team, our team is still going to be Washington. If you look at it, besides the Michigan game, we've been in these games. We could have won these games, so we're not that far away. We just need an offense to go out there and compete and make some plays. If we can do that, I feel like our defense can do enough for us to win, especially against Arizona State, especially the rest of the schedule. We can win out if we just go out there and play.
Mario Bailey with us. All right, so knowing that, who would you start at quarterback Saturday?
Honestly, I go with the same quarterback. I feel like he was never put in the position to win. I don't feel like you throw Sam in there. I want Sam to redshirt if possible. I don't know how many games he has left where we can still keep his red shirt. But
two games? Yep.
I play him those two games, but I don't start him just yet. I don't waste his red shirt. I go with our same quarterback because I feel like he hasn't been put in a great position to win. Although he hasn't made a lot of throws, I feel an offensive coordinator can change that for him.
How good is this wide receiver room, Mario?
I've been in the wide receiver room. They can make plays. You just got to give them a chance. That's all they're looking for. It's like the last game against Stanford. When they were given a chance, when Jalen was given a chance to make plays, he made plays. Give them a chance. Put some plays in there for them to make plays. I feel like they're young, but they're hungry. And they're looking forward to this week, I promise you.
Well, Mario, let me wrap it up with this. Mario Bailey, again, is with us. Good to get your wisdom, your words of wisdom on the air regarding what's happening over on Montlake. You're definitely one of those guys that when people need advice when it comes to Husky football, we want to go to you, and we appreciate you being available. But, you know, you mentioned this, that with the suspension now, Jimmy Lake is going to have to wear this, right, whether right or wrong. It's on his resume. How does he overcome this in recruiting? Because coaches will use this against him. Parents will ask about it. It'll be something that he's going to have to overcome. It's one more hurdle that Jimmy Lake will have to deal with when it comes to signing players. How does he get through it?
Like I said at the beginning, Sophie, it's just about faith. I don't know how Coach overcomes this because it is a stigma and people are going to point to this and other coaches are going to use it as a recruiting tool against Washington. I don't know how he overcomes it without just having faith and being the good man that I know Coach to be. But the bad part about that is just being a good man doesn't get these kids to come to your school.
Yep.
So I don't really have an answer for you for him to overcome this. I just hope that our program and our school can overcome it for the kids that are coming in.
Well, Jimmy Lake has since put a statement out on Twitter. I'll read it to both you guys. Mario, you can hear this. He says, quote, "I want to apologize to every member of our team and in particular to Ruparaki Fuavai for my actions during our game on Saturday. I also want to apologize to President Kausei and Jen Cohen for putting the U in this position. I fully accept the decision that was made. Our team has a right to expect better than what I displayed on Saturday, and I'm committed to doing just that, being better, so our program will reflect all that's good about being a Washington Husky." That's from Jimmy Lake. Is that enough for you?
Enough for me.
All right. Good stuff. Mario, you're the man. Go Dogs. We'll talk soon, buddy.
Go Dawgs. Appreciate
all right.
you guys.
You bet. We're going to break. Joel Klatt will join us. Give us his thoughts from Fox, courtesy of Venue Kings, next on Softy and Dick on 950 KJR.
Love.
It's time. time to talk college football with Fox Sports' Joel Klatt. Brought to you by Venue Kings. Visit VenueKings.com. Now with Joel Klatt, here's Softy and Dick.
All right, big thanks to our friends at VenueKings.com. Looking for tickets for the next Seahawks home game against the Cardinals. $85 gets you in the door. Use code Softy at checkout for a discount at VenueKings.com. Joining us right now on the radio show, one of the preeminent voices and faces of college football media in our country from Fox Sports, our friend Joel Klatt. And Joel, I'd like to apologize, first of all, for the lack of topics emanating from Montlake this week. My God. Lose to Oregon for the third year in a row. You fire your offensive coordinator, and now your head coach, Jimmy Lake, has been suspended for a physical altercation with a walk-on linebacker during the Duck game on Saturday. What's the view from your perch from 35,000 feet on everything happening in Seattle, man?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we had an internal conference call today. You know, a lot of us analysts, studio and game, get on a call and just talk about things throughout the sport. And I can tell you right now, as soon as the Washington topic was opened up, and it was early in the conversation, trust me when I tell you that, I mean, the consensus was, what a mess.
Yeah.
You know, because that's exactly what it is right now. And, you know, you can talk about the incident all you want, and I've watched it, and, you know, listen, I'm the son of a Marine, and he was also my high school football coach, my dad, and he was tough. He never, like, hit us, but I don't think Jimmy was trying to hit anybody. I think that there's an element of this that the administration is trying to create a narrative and or an incident that allows them to get out of a contract without having to pay the full buyout amount. I really believe that administration around the country and presidents and chancellors and athletic directors, they look at this, and we've seen this time and time again. I heard through the grapevine that was one of the reasons that Scott Frost was being, quote, investigated by the NCAA, is that it was an inside leak so that maybe they could have cause if they needed to make a move. Now, they have subsequently decided today, by the way, to stay with Scott Frost and restructure his contract very similar to what Harbaugh's is. But I hear this now a lot throughout college football, and I believe that they used this instance in a year in which maybe they had some buyer's remorse, if you will, about Jimmy Lake, that they're trying to use this, regardless of what the internal, quote, investigation found out, as a point that they can use to potentially make a move and save money at the same time. I think that that's where we're at in college football.
So, but doesn't this close the door on firing Jimmy Lake at the end of the year? Because it almost seems like they're making this measured move, you know, offense, a punishment, move on. Or you honestly think that this is maybe a precursor to something that happens at the end of the season?
Potentially. Listen, I don't know for a fact, right? And so I never want to speculate on people's jobs. Having said that, there are actions that take place by people that are making decisions that set themselves up to make further decisions in their best interest, and in particular from a financial standpoint. I think there's an element of that in this. Because if you look at the instance, I think that it's very clear that Jimmy was trying to do right by everyone. Now, did he get a little bit overly emotional? Yes, probably. Was the second shove a little bit out of bounds? Maybe. But the internal investigation, quote, found, quote, you know, no deliberate or intentional, you know, harmful act. And so in my mind, I'm like, okay, so if that's what you found out, why would you cut the hamstring from your head coach and give everybody recruiting against him all the ammunition in the world by suspending him for a game? It can't just be the optics. What are you trying to get, applause from your donor base? Well, if your donor base is that upset with them, you're probably going to have to make a change anyways.
Right.
So none of it made sense to me. If you went through the investigative process and you come to the conclusion that you didn't feel like it was, you know, malicious or violent in some nature, then why the suspension? It didn't make to me, when I saw that, I was like, hold on, what's going on? There's got to be something else to this, and I think that the something else is creating a narrative that allows them to make a move on Jimmy without paying him.
Well, the move may have come from upper campus as well, from the president's office and the Board of Regents. I have no idea if Jen Cohen and the department was allowed to even make this call, Joel. That's number one. And number two, I agree with you, because I think what they've done, if they are still planning on Jimmy Lake being their head coach for the near and long-term future, they've made his job exponentially harder. He's got to go out. He's got to go out and recruit now and sit in living rooms with moms and dads as the player, excuse me, as the coach who got suspended for smacking a kid. How does that make his job easier?
It doesn't at all. It makes it, like you said, harder. And in particular, when he like even outside of the football field, guys, he's been up against it. I just did a game in which Tui Moloau, you know, from the Seattle area, JT Tuimoloau, is playing great at Ohio State as a true freshman. You know, isn't Abuka from the Washington area, you know, as well? So he's losing recruiting battles. Mario has owned the conference to some degree and obviously got left off the hook when Washington had the COVID issues a year ago. But I don't understand how you do that to your head coach if he's trying to go out there and compete at the highest levels in recruiting. I feel like they hamstrung him. And if this is a decision from the higher-ups, like the chancellor and their board of regents and everything, then they're just showing themselves for what they are, which is uninformed. And that's, by the way, that's not a knock specifically on UW. That's a generalization across the sport. When I talk with presidents and chancellors and board of regents and chairs of this or that, they're woefully ill-prepared to make decisions and candidly be involved at all in the college football landscape, which has gone far past their purview, and yet they still have the ultimate control, whether it becomes the college football playoff board of managers or these individual decisions, prospectively, like Jimmy Lake at Washington.
Joel, can they even fire a coach after basically 16 games, which is what it would be, and probably with about 500 would Jimmy at Lake have, you know, cause for a lawsuit or something like that after that? Because I mean, you're talking about this doesn't happen very often.
That's why there's buyout language,
right?
But this is so the buyout, and I don't know what specifically Jimmy's is, okay, but the buyout language is always written so that it's harder for the university to make a move earlier than it is later. Okay, so that's their deterrent, is some sort of buyout language, which, guess what I would do if I was a university that needed to make a move or wanted to make a move, I guess I should say, and yet had a deterrent financially from firing him this short into the contract? Well, I'd probably try to look and see if there was any cause, or try to find some cause or pin some cause on him to get out of some of that language, because we all know that there is language specifically in contracts, and I know for a fact there is in Coach Lake's, that would let the campus off the hook if there were any incidents involving player or player safety and so on and so forth. So to me, just read between the lines and you kind of see what's going on.
Great stuff. Always appreciate the insight and the words of wisdom, and we'll do it again next Monday, pal. Appreciate this.
Thanks,
buddy.
Joel.
Have a great week, fellas. See
All right, man. Joel Klatt with us on the air. We're going to break. We got testimonials 49451. Simply put, do you agree with the decision to suspend Jimmy Lake for the Arizona State game? That's all coming up live from the Emerald Queen on 950 KJ.
Coming to you live from the Elliott Avenue studios of Sports Radio 950 KJR. This is Textimonials.
LOL, semicolon parentheses.
Take it away, Dave Softy Mahler and Dick Fain.
Anybody here, if the Hawks have claimed Odell Beckham Jr., they got until tomorrow at 4 o'clock, is that right, to claim him? Sorry, hang on, in 3, 2, and 1. Anybody hear about Odell Beckham Jr., if he's been claimed or not by the Seahawks?
You turned my microphone off?
I did turn your mic off because I was doing a live spot and you were playing music off your laptop. That's why.
Nobody
has more stuff coming out of their laptop than you do. It's unbelievable. Your laptop is like an 80-year-old man after a bowl of chili.
I wish it was. I wish it was music I was playing.
All right.
It.
So has anybody heard?
It's tomorrow. No, it's tomorrow. Tomorrow's when we find out.
Right, but they can claim him by tomorrow. Is that right? So they could have put in a claim today.
I heard that it was tomorrow is when the claims can start coming in.
I got you.
That was my belief. Now, some teams have already said that they're not going to claim him.
In front of the Seahawks.
Exactly.
That's
like
right.
The Lions came out, Dan Campbell came out and said, we're not going to.
The Lions suck. Why would they want him?
Like he would
the Lions want to protect their draft status. Exactly. Why would they want him? Yeah, all right, 49451. Jackson, what do you got?
I'm mad Jimmy got suspended this week. I was really looking forward to his explanation of why we punted on 4th and 10. Or should I say, tried to punt.
Well, that was just the knife in the back of the neck right there, man, to end that sucker. I don't know. I mean, I guess there's a part of me that could see maybe the odds were greater that you would actually score if you got the ball back and played defense and called some timeouts. What are the odds of converting on 4th and 10 versus getting the ball back and then actually going out and winning the football game? If you convert on 4th and 10, the odds change dramatically. So it's all about that one play. Me, I got to be honest with you, Dick, I had zero confidence in them converting on 4th and 10. None.
I had zero confidence as well, particularly after Cade Otten and where the heck has that guy been?
Unbelievable.
Decided to drop a first down pass that would have at least gotten. I mean, think about the momentum of that drive. Because I turned to the guy next to me. I said, you know what? If you can get Oregon on their heels, completing a couple of chunk plays right off the bat.
Yeah.
Then you got that opportunity. Not 10 seconds after I said that, Cade Otten gets wide open in the middle of the field. I'm like, there it is.
Well, there were two drives that showed you all you had to know, the start of the second half and the last drive of the game, where they looked like they came out of the locker room and they had just taken a nap. I swear to God, at halftime. They go three and out to start the half. They go three and out to end the game. So a moving offensive coordinator had to be made and should have been made weeks ago. All right, what's next?
Lake has to be let go yesterday. To keep him as head coach is just delaying the inevitable.
Yeah. Well, I got to tell you, man, the optics are hard to overcome. Mm-hmm. The optics, and I just saw a picture of Junior Adams and Bob Gregory sitting at the podium talking to the media today. The optics of an interim offensive coordinator and an interim head coach addressing the media and the old head coach actually coming back and keeping his job. There's a part of me that has a hard time seeing that happening. I mean, this would be, I would love to know how often that happens, where a guy does get suspended and eventually comes back and keeps his job, and then not just keeps his job, but also does well on the other
keeps
side.
Keeps it for a long period of time is what you're saying.
Right. The optics don't look great, man. There is a part of me, especially after hearing Greg Lewis talk, that wonders if Jimmy Lake has coached his last game as a Husky.
The action Saturday changed things, because now you're not just talking about a mediocre record, and that's what it is. I mean, he's 7-6. It's not a terrible record. It's a very mediocre, un-Husky-like record.
Sure.
Right?
He's 6-5 against everybody not named Montana or Arkansas State.
Right. And I just don't think that 16 games would be enough to evaluate just on wins and losses on its own.
But you're not just judging it.
But now you're judging it on something beyond just wins and losses. You're judging his ability to maintain control and poise during a football
game. Well, and it's not even that. I mean, to me, it's not even that. It's about the recruiting. It's about the his choice for offensive coordinator. It's about the stubbornness about the quarterback spot, the way things have progressed or regressed offensively. This isn't just about wins and losses. I mean, if it was only about wins and losses, but guys were getting better, you could claim youth, blah, blah, blah. This is way bigger than just wins and losses. All right, what's next?
Can we please keep some freaking perspective? Lake smacked the helmet of a player involved in a physical altercation, not his face. He hit his helmet. Yes, it's bad look for Jimmy and an overreaction, but let's be reasonable.
I think it's the combination of that and everything else. I think if this was standing on itself, it wouldn't be that big a deal. And look, personally, I'm with you, but I realize that we live in an area of the country, in a section of society, in an era in society and humanity where people have less patience for things like that. All right? I get it. My dad used to smack the hell out of me. My dad would take his middle knuckle and pop me over the head, and my mom would spank my ass every single week. You probably grew up in the same type of environment. A lot of guys I know grew up in that environment. People don't think like we do anymore. People don't think like I do anymore, and they definitely don't think that way right now. And in this town that we live in, you have to read the room. You have to.
Well, you have to read the room, and not only do you have to read the situation that the coach is in. If he's 7-1,
totally.
I think people are cheering him right now. Yeah, get that kid off the field, man, because everybody loves Jimmy Lake if he's 7-1.
Right.
But he's not.
All right, one more. Go ahead.
I hope Sam Hard starts this weekend. It's time to let the five-star guy loose.
Okay, now we know how Texty pronounces Heward. It's Hard, Sam Hard. You know, I've heard through the grapevine that he'd like to protect his red shirt, and that would mean playing in two of the final three games, not all three. But I also think that you have to do what's best for his future. And if playing him right now and getting him some reps is going to help him be a better quarterback next year, then go for it. I know this, that I really appreciate how hard Dylan Morris works. I appreciate the way the guys on the football team feel about Dylan Morris. I also know that Dylan has a lot of weaknesses and a lot of shortcomings in his game as a passer at this level that are no fault of his own. I think he works his butt off to be a great quarterback. I just think that he's held back by his physical limitations. So I have a hard time, I think you do as well, imagining Dylan Morris being the starting quarterback for this football team in 2 years from now. And if that's the case, then let's tear the Band-Aid off and let's get this guy as many reps as possible.
But if Sam Heward wants to preserve his red shirt,
then he's not going to play all three.
Absolutely,
yes.
Preserve. If,
absolutely.
If he is looking long-term and he wants to be your quarterback for four more years after this,
yeah,
you absolutely,
well,
let him be your quarterback for four
and
years
it's not even.
This.
I don't think he's saying four more years. He just wants the option in case he needs it, right?
Right.
I mean, does he really want to play in the final three games, or would he rather play in two and keep the option of the red shirt in case he needs it down the road? What if he transfers somewhere and he wants the extra year in a new system? So, yeah, I mean, at this point, you got three more games left to go. If it was freaking September and they named him the starting quarterback for the entire year, it'd be totally different. All right, we're going to break. Are we going to hear from Pete Carroll next segment,
yes,
Jackson?
Yes.
We're going to hear from Pete Carroll, Bob Gregory as well, the interim head coach over at UW, maybe a little Junior Adams if we can fit it in.
Yes.
All the coaches spoke today. We'll hear them in the coaches' box next on 950 KJR.
Now, from the Star Rental Sports Desk, your 950 KJR Sports Headlines.
All right, let's get to it. Headlines on a Monday Night Live from the Emerald Queen Casino, brought to you, of course, by our friends at VenueKings.com.
Hey, you guys!
Lots of news in the NFL. First of all, Russell Wilson cleared to play against the Packers on Sunday. Raiders have cut first-round draft pick from 2020, Damian Arnette, after a video appeared online showing him making death threats while holding a gun. And the Niners right tackle Mike McGlinchey out for the year with a torn quad.
Mariner manager Scott Servais named a finalist for AL Manager of the Year, along with Kevin Cash of the Rays and Dusty Baker of the Astros.
Kraken tomorrow against the Vegas Golden Knights. 7 o'clock face-off, 6:30 pregame right here on KJR. We're going to be at the 32 Bar and Grill outside the Kraken Ice Complex tomorrow from 3 until 7. So stop by and Dick will buy you dinner and a beer and maybe lunch the next day. All right, let's get to it. Our coaches box every Monday. Usually hear from Jimmy Lake and Pete Carroll, but Jimmy Lake is unavailable. Because he was suspended after the game on Saturday. So Bob Gregory, the defensive coordinator, will be the interim head coach for the Dogs on Saturday, and he met with the media this afternoon.
As everybody knows, this is a tough situation, but we are doing good. And our kids are doing awesome. Great team meeting today, and we are looking forward to ASU. So fire away.
How did you address Jimmy's suspension with the team?
I did not. That was Jen's role.
How did this all come down yesterday for you?
I just got a call early today, and Jen asked me if I'd be willing to do it, and part of me wanted to say no, kidding, but I'd do anything for the team, anything for her, and we got to move forward and practice, and happy to do it.
Have you spoken to Jimmy since the end of the game?
Since the end of the game. I spoke to him this morning. We had a meeting this morning. We do a couple of overviews for our opponent, and I think he had his meeting mid-morning or whatever it was, and I haven't spoken to him since.
And it's obviously a difficult situation, Bob, but just sort of being thrown into this role, do you feel like you're in a position where you can succeed with this team this week?
Yeah, I'm excited. I think we're all excited. It was, like I said, it was a great team meeting we had. I think our guys are going to be energized and ready to go. We play a great opponent, and so there's no quit in this football team. That is not happening. We've had a lot of adversity this year. We've had some tough times, but our team has fought the entire time. We've been close, so we just got to get over the hurdle.
Bob, between now and game time, I don't even know, can you even have a conversation with Jimmy, or will you have a conversation with Jimmy regarding what's going on with the football team or game plan at all?
I don't think I'm supposed to do that, so probably not.
Were you aware of the incident that occurred on the sideline during the game, or did you find out afterwards what happened?
I found out afterwards. I was at home, and a buddy of mine texted me. I had no idea.
Bob, when you saw that video of the episode on the sidelines, what went through your mind?
Well, it was just an unfortunate incident. It was an unfortunate incident. There's no question. Yep.
How is Rupert Aki handling?
He's good. He's good. He's a very, very quiet kid. He's a really good kid. I think he's a little embarrassed by it, but he's good.
All right, Bob Gregory there. He will be the interim head coach on Saturday. How about the interim for now offensive coordinator, Junior Adams, taking John Donovan's spot, was asked by Elias Woodward how the offense could look different on Saturday.
Junior, how are you going to change, if at all, the offense or the game plan or anything like that?
I mean, for the most part, we're going to keep the schemes consistent with what we've been doing, and we're going to do what we're good at. We're going to try to get the guys the ball that need the football that are going to put us in the best position to be explosive and win this football game.
Junior, is Dylan still the starting quarterback?
You know, we're going through game plan right now, and we're going to see where we're at with that. But, you know, Dylan, you know, we're going to put him in the best position that he can be in for him to be successful.
Junior, what do you think you can add to this offense? What do you think you can bring that maybe has been missing a little bit with your calling plays?
You know, I'm going to be me, and the players know that, and we're going to do what's best for those guys that are on the offense and those guys that are in the locker room and for this team, and we're going to try to bring some juice. Like Coach Gregory said, you know, these guys, they're still fired up. They're still excited to get on the field tomorrow and start practice. We know what we got ahead of us as far as Arizona State and what they pose for us, and we're just excited to do that. We're just going to come out here, have some juice, create some good energy, and try to create some explosive plays.
Junior, how did you find out about John Donovan being dismissed? And what was your reaction? And obviously you being promoted to that role, what was your reaction to that?
Well, my reaction, one, is I don't wish that on anybody. And it's unfortunate that happened. I mean, JD is a good friend of mine. I enjoyed working with JD. JD's smart. I learned a lot of good football from him. We all know that we're in this profession and what happens and what if we don't do the job and get things done. And it's just unfortunate that he was sitting in that seat and that's what happened. But no, I love JD and, you know, I'm excited to be in this role. I'm very fortunate to be in this role and I'm thankful for that. So I'm just ready to get out on the field and practice, get back when I'm done here, get back to game planning and see what we can do.
All right, that's the voice of Junior Adams, the interim offensive coordinator. It does add some intrigue to the game for me on Saturday. I'm just super curious to see what the offense looks like.
Well, I'm a little bit afraid when he says we're going to stick with the scheme.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
But we'll see. He also says I'm going to be Junior Adams, too, and I imagine that's going to be a lot different. We talked about it earlier. I think it's going to be a decidedly different, more spread out, more wide open, quick hitting attack from the Washington offense.
I don't know what – I mean, I haven't studied Junior Adams' tape from Western Kentucky. I had no idea what the guy liked to do. But Pete Carroll, we know what Pete Carroll likes to do. He likes to watch Russell Wilson play football. Coach's Box continues with Pete Carroll. He's talking about number three coming back on Sunday. How about that?
We thought, what could be the earliest he could possibly do it? Could he possibly pull it off? And he did, you know, and to make – just to make it to practice today. I mean, he looked great out there today. So that's an enormous accomplishment. So I'm saying that was the kind of the hopes that if he could pull off something special, that it might happen this week. That's kind of what we were thinking. And I know he was ready to go yesterday. He would have wanted to play yesterday if he was able to.
Bob Condota.
Hey, Bob. Bob, before you ask the question, you know, I just feel like saying you know, what we just watched Russ do, I think it's just, you know, and you guys will do a good job of chronicling all of this, but to see somebody that is so clearly, you know, took control of his rehab and the process and the mentality of it, this is really exciting to see. And you know, for, you know, there's a lot of people that are sick and hurting, coming back from stuff and all of that. It's always nice to know a story with somebody just overcame the odds and pulled it off and was so clearly intended to do all of this. I just think it's remarkable, and I hope it, you know, as we follow this and Russ can find his way back to success and all that in a quick fashion. I just think it's important, you know. There's a lot of hard times, a lot of people working through a lot of hard stuff. This is a really cool story, and I'm amazed, but yet not surprised, kind of, you know. And I'm really fired up about it. I'm anxious to see how this goes.
One more on Russell. You said you'll take it one day at a time, but is there something specific you need to see from him at some point in the week to know for sure he's ready for Sunday?
you just see, watching how he recovers from the work. That's really, you know, it's so often what we say, you know, we got to wait and see how the next day goes. But in particular, in this case, he's already had days where he's thrown the ball more than he did today. So, and they led it up. They had a real great ramp up to it and all that, really, you know, well-educated, scheduled formula to get there. And this was not more than he's done. So he should be okay tomorrow and get into Wednesday. But we'll see how it goes. And we just got to watch, you know, just watch how he responds.
You watched Jordan Love yesterday?
Yeah.
God, did he look bad. And I thought to myself, I wonder if there's any part of the Packers organization thinking, yeah. Well, maybe we made a mistake with this guy, because he's been around for a couple years now and he looked awful yesterday.
I think there was part of the Packers organization that was thinking, the minute they drafted Jordan Love.
Yeah, well, then they shouldn't have drafted him, because Aaron Rodgers is pissed off, and I think he's got about a month and a half left in Green Bay until he's out the door. Well, Seahawks and Packers became very intriguing now with Russell Wilson coming back. Huskies, Arizona State, intriguing with a brand new offensive coordinator. We'll come back and wrap it up and get to the game everybody's been waiting for. The entire country has been counting down to Bears and Steelers on Monday night next.
This day in Husky history is brought to you by Swickard Auto Group.
Touchdown, Washington!
November 8th, 1986, after this.
The Swickard Auto Group is excited for Husky football and to partner with UW Athletics as proud sponsor of the Pups and Parents program. Nothing is more satisfying than seeing past and current Huskies introduce future Huskies to the university through athletics, sharing experiences and creating memories that last a lifetime. Brought to you by the Swickard Premium Automotive Group, with 5 Puget Sound locations. Swickard Toyota, Mercedes-Benz of Seattle, Volvo Cars Seattle, Volvo Cars Bellevue, and Epic Ford in Everett. Visit us at Swickard.com.
Don James' 100th win as the Husky head man came on the road against a Pacific Northwest rival. The Beavers held a 6-0 lead late in the second, but Chris Chandler locked in, completing 10 of his last 11 passes for 190 yards. David Rill's 22 tackles earned him Pac-10 Defensive Player of the Week as UW downed Oregon State 28-12, 35 years ago today.